and tired, and that old man looking down on us. Come together, as we think we got a plan. Save a teeny tiny traveling folk band.
Missed out on the banter of me talking about how I remembered that we're supposed to have 4 seconds of silence before we start our episodes, so it makes it a little bit easier for Sam while he's editing. But hey, guys, by the way, in case you're unfamiliar, I am Hannah Nawa. I am the host of the Flat Nickel Podcast, which is what you are very conveniently listening to right now. and I am joined by my producer and occasional co-host, but let's be honest, always co-host, Mr. Sam Fritz.
So far, we're on a streak.
We talked about this, I think, when we were recording the intro for the Cody Wilt episode. We were recording the intro for, and I always say in the beginning of our intros, I say my name, and then I say I'm joined by my always producer and occasional co-host, Mr. Sam Fritz, because in the beginning, it was kind of assumed that you were going to be strictly sort of behind the scenes and then just pipe in as necessary. Mm-hmm. But you've sort of been able to, you're more involved as far as the interview aspect than I think what we anticipated
You're still the host, and I'm just the occasional voice that chimes in whenever necessary. But yeah, I've been more vocal, I guess, than planned. But I always took you calling me the occasional co-host as we both knew going into this that I wasn't going to be able to make every interview.
Right.
So I've been deemed occasional co-host because a time will come, and it still very well may come, mm-hmm. when you have to do the interview and I can't.
The reason that we're filming this sort of elongated intro slash banter with Hannah and Sam, I was going to say some weird combination of both of our names, is that we are currently waiting for our interview subject, Shawn Rice, who is one of my favorite humans, to come and sit down with us. But we got here a little bit early, so we decided to just record and talk amongst ourselves, mainly because I want to ask Sam some questions and talk to him a little bit about what is, like, your recently played on Spotify. Do you have your phone?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I don't need my phone to know what I've been recently playing.
Oh, really? See, yeah. I feel like I have such a random variety of things. And I just wanted to tell you guys a little bit, I think, about what we've been listening to lately. Obviously, you know, we love music. That's why we're doing this podcast, and we love, you know, artists and songwriters, and figured we would give you guys some recommendations of some things to go check out.
Yeah. My playlist so far has been, I mean, one thing that, yeah, I guess it's not necessarily recent as it's been consistent since it came out, is the new Superorganism record, mm-hmm. Self-titled. But by far, I think easily my album of the year so far. I don't think anything's come out that's matched it.
Which you have on vinyl.
Yes.
Thanks to somebody that pointed that out to you in the stacks of vinyl at some record store.
Yeah, we were in Lancaster. I can't remember the name of the...
It was in Lancaster.
The place that we were at. But yeah, we were at a Lancaster record store. I managed to find that, and I bought it instantly.
Yeah.
Superorganism. In my opinion, a band that has managed to be innovative in a time when innovative music just doesn't really come around that often. Mm-hmm. You know, nowadays you get people who are really good at their craft, but their craft has been done before. But when I listened to Something for Your Mind or Everybody Wants to Be Famous, those are the two biggest songs off the album. When I heard those for the first time, I was like, this is new. This is fresh music and sound, and it absolutely blew me away, just how crazy it was, but it also is very structured in its craziness.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, Abhi the Nomad, his new album Marbled, which came out a while ago, I think it came out in March, but I just recently came back to listening to it again. He is kind of a rap artist, or I guess hip-hop, whichever genre you want to go with there, and then kind of like a pop rock artist. Some of his songs alter between those two genres, I would say.
Have you been listening to, sort of consistently listening to the songs that Dawes have been releasing with Passwords?
Yeah, well, I mean, now I've just been listening to the album.
It did come out? Okay.
Yeah, the whole album's been out for a while now.
As much as I love Dawes, I feel like I haven't been following as closely as you have. Like, what was it on their website?
Oh, okay. So Dawes released a password like machine on their website, and they would release codes to the passwords of it on daily, semi-daily, weekly, whatever basis. And when you typed in the code, there was like a little pin pad on their website. And when you typed in the code, it would either play a song that hadn't been released yet, or it would play a music video for a song that was coming out. And Dawes actually is doing a thing right now where I believe I saw on their Twitter, they want to make passwords for other people mm-hmm. that they can hide on their website, yeah. which I did submit the Flat Nickel podcast for. Haven't heard back, so probably didn't get selected, but you know.
That's okay. No, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Yeah. Isn't that something you say to me?
Well, I did not create that quote, but yes, that is a quote.
Darn, I thought you had.
That's what, Wayne Gretzky, I think? Yeah.
I don't even know who that is.
Hockey player.
Oh, okay.
You don't play or watch hockey, so.
I neither you watch also don't nor play hockey. But you can tie in hockey.
Yes, you can.
Sam and I like to play this game where he gives me the names of sports teams and I have to guess where they're from because, one, I have terrible memory, and, two, I know very little about sports. And let me tell you, it's fun until it's not. it's fun until I keep saying the same things over and over again.
I was going to say, it's actually more fun for you than it is for me because you guess the same cities every time.
So I'm looking at my recently played on Spotify, which, you know, just out of curiosity, let us know how you guys listen to music or how you guys listen to podcasts. If you listen to music through Spotify, if you're an iTunes person, if you're a Google Play person, what's Jay-Z's one? Tidal.
We're not on Tidal.
Well, I'm not talking about podcasts. I'm talking about, you know, our podcast. I'm talking about music in general. Mm. Like, how are you listening to music? Mm-hmm. Because I think that that's a really interesting thing in an era where streaming is so prevalent.
Yeah.
You know, how are you listening to music? For me personally, I like Spotify. I enjoy using Spotify.
I believe the majority it uses Spotify, and then Apple Music is. Or iTunes, mm-hmm. Apple Podcast. Apparently they're separate now. But iTunes is probably second behind that, I guess.
But on my recently played on Spotify, I have The Rex. I've been listening to a lot of The Rex. I discovered them a good while ago with their song, what is it? Favorite Liar. And that was like a really awesome song. It was my bop, it was my jam, it was my summertime rolling down the windows, I'm a badass, like, I'm gonna feel good about myself today song. And I recently rediscovered them and have been listening to a lot of their music. And of course there is so much David Ramirez. If you know me at all, if you follow me on Instagram, you know that I have a deep love and appreciation for David Ramirez. Not only an incredible songwriter, but just one of the most interesting and nicest people I've ever had the pleasure of meeting.
While we're talking about social media, let's do a social media plug.
For our plugs?
Yeah, that's for us.
For us?
Yeah.
You mean Flat Nickel Podcast on Instagram and Flat Nickel Podcast on Facebook?
Yeah, and also to follow us on iTunes. And
hit that subscribe button, guys. You want to be notified whenever we put up a new episode,
guys.
Spoiler alert, it's on Wednesdays, but if you want a notification, you got to subscribe on iTunes. That's the best thing you can do, and it also helps us a lot, and we'd be super appreciative.
Hit us with a like, a favorite, a subscribe.
Right, we're suddenly YouTubers.
Great. Give us a 5-star rating.
Yeah. Drop us a review. Tell the universe how much you love us. Like,
you can even tell the universe how much you hate us as long as you still rate us 5 stars. I mean, seriously.
That's not preferred for my ego. That's not preferred, but you can do it. It is a possibility. You are allowed.
My ego is fueled by stars. I don't care about the comments. I just need to see the stars.
My ego is fueled by stars. Can we have that be... We started doing this thing where we are publishing quotes from our interviews as a way to sort of... drum up attention, give us content to push out.
So this week's quote is going to be my ego's fueled by stars.
Sam Fritz, 2018. Did I say Courtney Marie Andrews?
Mm-hmm.
Courtney Marie Andrews, there's like a huge group of young, insanely talented Americana country songwriters mm-hmm. right now, and Courtney Marie Andrews is with them. I feel like I should address, my best friend Lauren just texted me, and she is absolutely beside herself because she did not know that the music video that I just produced was released today. If you're listening to this, it's already out, but it was released exclusively through Billboard.com. We're going to put a link to it on our Facebook page, on our Instagram, everything, to share with you guys. It's the video that we did for Ottawa, actually, the day after we recorded our interview with them. And it was released exclusively through Billboard.com. I wrote and produced it. And it's really cool. I'm kind of still, like, I don't want to say I'm in shock because I knew that this was happening for a while. But I'm still, it doesn't feel real yet. I don't feel like it's sunken in.
Mm-hmm.
I did a thing and that thing has been released on Billboard.com because that's pretty cool, I have to say.
It's absolutely sunk in on my, I think it's lit.
It's lit?
It's lit. It's great that we, you know, by we I mean you, really, that you got such a great thing under your belt. You know, I'm happy that I got to be a part of it and got to help, you know, be the supporting role of, you know, producing the interview when we were up there mm-hmm. and help
behind
out
the
behind the scenes 100%. But, you know, it's awesome that your image that you kind of put down on paper, figured out, submitted, took the time to film and produce, and now it's out there for the world to see.
The storyline of No More Love Songs, the video that I wrote for it was really personal for me, and it was kind of therapeutic because I really drew from just relationships that I had had in my past and things that I had sort of struggled with. And so for me, actually being able to put that and see it on screen, and for me having it be this like little, inspired by this little tiny part of my life, and I took that and I was able to create something that I feel so confident in and I love so wholeheartedly, this video. I'm so proud of it. And I'm so thankful for, you know, Brad and for Ottawa for letting me do this. It's incredible, and I feel so lucky. I always feel so incredibly lucky to work with the people that I get to work with, whether that's the people that we get to sit down and interview or the people that I've worked with over the past 5 years running my venue and my gallery, or, you know, now that I'm starting to make music videos as sort of what I want to do as my full-time job. Which, by the way, if you're listening to this and want a music video, hit me up. I know a great director and cinematographer. Rutro.
With that, what do you say? A quick set the scene, because this is different than our normal.
Yes,
we are. We're still in the Thought Lot.
Yes.
But instead of being in the Thought Lot green room where we normally interview our artists, we are now located in the quality vintage clothing store, Whiskers Vintage and Vinyl, owned by our own
truly.
Host. Yes. Surrounded by dresses. Mostly dresses,
mostly,
let's be honest.
Mostly dresses. A lot of vinyl.
Yeah. Some vinyl over there. Any noises that you may hear are other shop owners coming and going outside.
Yeah, I'm about to go stick my head out and go, we are recording in here. Excuse you. But yeah, we don't have the best insulation in here, as far as noise insulation. That's the right word for what I'm trying to say. So if you hear any sort of doors opening and closing, other voices muffling, that's what that is.
No.
So, but yeah, if you are in the Shippensburg area, by all means, come on down to the Thought Lot, pop into Whiskers Vintage and Vinyl, and
say hello.
Yeah, say hello. Hey, if you reference that you listen to this podcast, I'll give you 25% off. I'm not even kidding. Hashtag promo code flat nickel.
Our first sponsorship is your own store. That's not bad, though. We might put that on the flat nickel or on the Whiskers Vintage Vital Facebook page. Say, hey, check out the podcast, and you get 25% off.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good idea.
If you listen to the podcast and you hear this message, come into Whiskers. Get 25% off. We're here for you. We're here to dress you up, to give you vinyl records, you know, supply all the vintage goods that you may need in your life.
What do you say with that little pre-show ramble out of the way? We get into our interview with Shawan Rice.
There we go. Sounds good. Okay, so after our little long rambly intro, we had perfect timing because we wrapped it up as soon as Siobhan got here. So we were pretty much just talking about amongst ourselves about what we've been listening to a lot lately. Mm-hmm. And I produced a music video that premiered on Billboard.com today.
Ooh.
So that's really exciting. I just kind of wanted to share that with
you. Congratulations.
With the listeners.
Thank you. That's so
exciting. I'm very excited. But I'm so happy to see you. I feel like it's been, I guess I saw you last October. You were here.
Yeah,
you
when I was here for a short time.
Yes.
We did that show with Teen Town.
Yes.
And with Emmanuel and Alphonse.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
That was such a great show. Siobhan always has amazing shows. If you ever get the chance to see her live, you absolutely have to. She is incredible. And she comes and plays at my venue, The Thought Lot, whenever she can.
I
saw you played Musica, too.
In Akron. Oh, yeah, we played with Red Rose Panic, and we had a really wonderful time. It was my first time in Akron, so.
Is that where they have the sign out sort of in front of it that says dance or something? Did you see that?
Does it? It's like an orange and black.
Yes.
I
was in Akron a couple years ago to see Dawes, and I remember everybody was talking about how much they love Musica, and
ooh,
I was like, the venue to be at. It was a hip place.
It was totally a rad place, and like their sound guy was like really attentive, and that's always wonderful. And the other band was phenomenal. I was really glad we got to see them perform. So yeah, I hope to be able to collaborate with them again.
Because you live in New Orleans now.
Uh-huh.
How long have you sort of been touring up north and going back to sort of the Harrisburg area?
Well, today is Friday, so this is day 10, day 11? We left last Tuesday, and we just stopped in Nashville. We didn't play in Nashville. Mm-hmm. We stopped and stayed the night. Then went up to Cincinnati, played at Urban Artifact in Cincinnati, and then played in Columbus at Woodlands Tavern, and then the Akron show at Musica, and then came over here to Pennsylvania. So, yeah.
Did you sort of build the tour based off of the fact that you wanted to do sort of the shows that you used to play in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, the main focus and goal of the tour was just to be able to come back and make music with the people that I love to make music with, see all the people that I love, and be able to play at the venues that I've played at before, but then also add a few new venues along the way as well. And the drummer that came with me, Rob, he's from Ohio, so he had like connections in Ohio, so we decided, when he decided to come along as well, we decided to throw some Ohio dates in there too. And then it was kind of like a coming home tour for both of us in a way, which was really wonderful. And yeah.
How long have you been living in New Orleans now?
September will be 2 years that I've been going back and forth. And last September will be this September it will be a year that I've been down there like permanently. Because beforehand I was like down there for a few months, back up here for a few months, but down there for a few months. But yeah, last September I decided that it needed to be more of like a permanent residence, and then I just come up here every few months to play with everybody and share some love and some music and some new music that I've been working on and whatnot. So yeah.
You went back and forth between here and New Orleans first before you decided to move full time. What was the initial draw to New Orleans?
Well, I had this intuitive urge at first about 4 years ago to just go there. Like, there's like something like deep within me was like just like pushing me to go there. So the one day I just was like, I'm going to New Orleans. And like a week later I left and like went down for just a few days. And I drove like the whole way. I had a friend of mine with me, but they didn't drive at all. Like, they couldn't drive. So I just like 19 hours away, furthest I've ever been from home. And it was so beautiful. And I didn't get to experience very much of it. It was very rainy. So I was kind of like stuck inside for like the first day or two. But then like when the sunshine came, I was like, oh my goodness, this place is magic. And like, it was more of a feeling than even the experience. Like, there's just something that I felt down there that I was drawn to and felt like I needed to return to. So when I got back to Pennsylvania, I just continued just like working on music, playing with my band, and like playing as many shows as I could and writing as much as I could. But like, I had like a long-term goal to move to New Orleans. And then I like put together the plan and just kind of made it happen. And my plan was just to be there for 3 months. But once I got down there, there was just like this like release, like this, like it was like my like soul like sighed and was like, I'm home. Like, and it just felt like Pennsylvania will always be my home. And I like have all my people are here, my friends, my family. But like there was just this like, like this is where we're supposed to be right now.
I feel like everybody that I've talked to that has either lived in New Orleans or worked in New Orleans has described this sort of sense of magic that just lingers in the air down there. And I feel like a lot of musicians I've spoken to that have played there, even just busking, they've loved it. It's been such sort of a hub for, I guess, in my head, it's sort of like a hub for wayward musicians almost. You know
what
I mean?
It's like, I feel like there's very little like bohemian like cities left, you know, like it's difficult to find like the culture and art, like, just in abundance, you know, and in New Orleans there's like an abundance of culture and art and music, and it all is just bubbling up all the time, and you can just feel it.
Did you establish contacts down there before you moved? Were you like trying to reach out to venues?
No,
just, you just went.
I just went. I just said like, this is what I'm doing. I like saved up money and was like, what, it doesn't matter what happens, I'm gonna be here for 3 months and I'm just gonna see what happens. And then it ended up being like a it's such fertile ground for creativity and for opportunities that it just ended up being so much more than I could have ever expected, that it seemed silly not to go back and not to just stay there. And like, I feel like it's really important to like travel and tour and play music all over, because music is like medicine for the people. It's always has been, you know, so like I want to be able to share my music with everybody. But as far as, like, a home base goes, like, it just feels like that's where I'm supposed to be.
I feel like, and you also talked about, you just said sort of sharing music with the people, and you've been busking a lot in New Orleans,
right? Oh, my
gosh.
Yeah, I love it. I street perform almost every day, and there's something about, like, the spontaneity that is street performing. You don't know who you're going to perform for. Like, I perform for, like, infants all the way up to, like, 90-year-olds, and it's just, like, so beautiful that the eclectic mix that you get there. And there's people I see out there like every day when I'm out. I see like the same couple of people, you know, and then there's people that I only meet once, and like they're so receptive and like grateful that you're sharing your art, that it's just, it makes you feel like okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, like, this feels good that I just spent the last like 2 hours just like sharing my heart, that like people are like, yeah, thank you for being here.
One thing that I've picked up on in just this brief little time is that you just mentioned like you like the spontaneity of going out and just kind of performing on the street, but you also mentioned moving to Louisiana with a goal, and like you made a plan and mapped it out. So do you find both in career and in life that you're trying to find that balance of spontaneity and also achieving goals? Like,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. I feel that long-term goals really help me to establish an idea of where it is I'm going and what it is I really want to do. And on a daily basis, I remind myself, like, what is it you're trying to do? What is it you want to do? What is, like, peace and contentment for you, you know? And what I find is my music, if there's anything I want to do with my life, is just leave, like, a legacy of love and music. Like, I just want to be able to share my music with as many people as possible, connect with as many people as possible, and, like, write and record as much as possible. So my, like, long-term goals are, like, my plan right now is to 2020, I'd like to do a European tour, and like, I haven't left the country yet. I need to leave the country. I need to experience. I need to spread my wings, you know? But like my short-term goals right now, or shorter-term goals, is over the next year, I really wanna just focus on writing and learning and recording music, so that I have more fresh feels to share, you know? I'd love to have goals in mind. Like the last two tours that I did, I came back in June for a short amount of time, and then I had this tour in July. The last like year I've kind of been focusing on feeding into these goals, you know, like doing these two tours. So now that these tours are going to be over now and I'll be going back to New Orleans, I'm like, all right, time to reset, reassess what it is I'd like to do and start working towards that bigger picture, you know.
I feel like a lot of artists, not that I know personally, but just sort of on the outskirts of the sort of friends of friends type thing, mm-hmm. have been touring in Europe. Like David Ramirez is about to leave for Europe. Mm-hmm. And sort of that whole group of musicians, I feel like, tours in Europe a lot. And it seems to be successful for them. I feel like a lot of European clubs or venues, people go there like to listen to the music.
Yeah, absolutely. They're very, from what I've heard, I know quite a few people that tour in Europe. Like, I leave every summer and go to Europe, and it seems that there's definitely a crowd, and it's definitely beneficial as far as like your time and being able to I was talking about this earlier, about how music is like this beautiful vehicle that allows you to go anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, so like, I feel like when it comes to tours, you can pretty much go anywhere in the world and you'll find somebody, even if it's just like two people in an itty bitty smoky club in the middle of nowhere. Like, you'll find people to connect to and people that appreciate it, you know?
Well, and the way that it's a vehicle for musicians with being able to travel and tour and share mm-hmm. their craft, I think also from like a listener's standpoint, you can listen to music from anywhere in the world and absolutely. Be connected to this culture or this person that you know absolutely nothing about without leaving your house, you know?
Yeah.
It's such an incredible thing, even, you know, when you have international touring artists that you might mm-hmm. find randomly along the way. And that's, you know, an incredible experience too. Music is such a connector in that
yeah,
way, you know, just it's like a language that everyone speaks.
Truly universal. It doesn't matter where you're coming from or where you're going, like everybody can speak it and feel it and understand it.
How do you feel about, so obviously you played a lot of shows in Pennsylvania, you mm-hmm. lived in Harrisburg for mm-hmm. a while, you're playing there,
yeah.
you're playing in New Orleans. How do you feel, like, is the culture of live music different in New Orleans than it is here?
Yeah, it's definitely its own thing. Like, there's, like, Harrisburg, there's definitely a thriving scene, and there's a lot of really talented players and a lot of, like, very supportive patrons that will go to shows and, like, that are grateful for people sharing their gifts, you know, and sharing their messages and sharing their music. But New Orleans is just surely, like, its own thing, you know? And the music has been, like, it's, like, the birthplace of, like, jazz. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's so much history. Like, it's, like, a 300-year-old city. And so much of it has been music. And so much of it lingers, you know, that the scene is just different. But there's also, it's like a city of like 330,000 people live there. In Harrisburg, there's like 20,000 people. Mm-hmm. So it's like a much larger scale of a scene than Harrisburg, you know. So this scene is different, but at the same time, like, no matter what city you go to, like, it's the same kind of, like, I feel like, tight-knit community vibe when it comes to music, you know, like.
I feel like you definitely fit in perfectly with the birthplace of jazz and blues. Like, that just seems you are just perfectly in this element, this fog of the great surrounding you. Like, that's perfect.
I'm just so grateful to be able to experience that city, and I just hope that I can just learn and share and grow there as long as possible.
I feel like a lot of people I've talked to and in articles that I've read about you, a lot of people describe you as an old soul,
yeah.
which resonates. But, you know, your sound, and you compared to, like, Amy Winehouse and Etta James and all these
so
incredible,
kind.
Like, when you were first getting involved in music, or when you first were surrounded by music, like your childhood,
mm-hmm.
What was those first few artists that you were hearing growing up, and did they sort uh-huh. of influence your sound?
Yeah, well, I grew up on, like, musicals, like Shirley Temple. I absolutely love Shirley Temple, and I used to just sing and dance in my room all the time. Like, there was rarely a time that I wasn't, like, singing or dancing, or, like, just, like, I was singing, dancing, or like reading. Like that was like my childhood. But when I was 7, my godmother introduced me to like Usher and Alicia Keys. And that was the first time I had ever heard like R&B, like neo soul vibes. Mm-hmm. And like my family listened to like classic soul music, classic rock, like more like my mother listened to like Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But that was the first time that I had really like experienced, I feel like, where like time stopped. When I heard Alicia Keys, time stopped. I was just like, I didn't even know that music like this existed. I didn't even know that women like played instruments like this and like had the ability to sing like this. Like it was something that I had just changed me ever since then. And I like started writing songs when I was really little, and then when I started playing guitar was when I was 13, and it was just because I wanted to be able to create my own music. Like I just wanted to be able to express like all facets of myself, not just like lyrically, but like instrumentally as mm-hmm. well. And I played piano when I was very little for a very short amount of time, but I was so interested in singing that like I just didn't want to focus on piano. Every time that I'd have like my piano and singing lessons, I would purposely forget my piano books so I could just sing for the whole hour instead of doing like 30 minutes of singing. Which a part of me is like, that was really silly. I should have taken advantage of that. But I also feel that it all happened exactly as it should, because mm-hmm. then I came to like love the instrument that I play in my own kind of way. And like it was, I never felt forced to do anything that I do. Like, which I'm also really grateful for that. My parents have always been very supportive of whatever it is I wanted to do. But like the most that I've ever been forced is like, I always told my mother I wanted to like, I was like, well, there was a short time I wanted to be a lawyer, but then
same.
that was more because I just felt that I just wanted to make a difference, and I felt that I was like, I can make change, I can make a difference, maybe I should be a lawyer. But I always had that underlying feeling of like, I just want to perform, I just want to share music, I just want to sing, and that always like rose above everything else. But anyway, my mother, when I told her I wanted to like just be like a singer and a guitarist and like do all these things, she was like, well, then you got to play for people. And I would be like, I was very shy. Like I'm still like a really introverted person. Like that's just like my nature. But she would always like, when people would come over, she'd be like, Siobhan, go get your guitar and play them a song. And like a big part of me would be like, no, I don't want to. But like there was like this part in me that was like, yes, I want to do that. Please just like keep telling me to do this so that I do it. And like, I'm really grateful she did that, because she like helped me to understand that it's okay to be fearful, and that's let it be like fire, like fuel for your fire. You know, you don't have to be fearful, so like not go through with what you want to do. Just allow the fear to be there, but don't let it hold you back. Let it feed you. You know, so I'm really grateful that she did that, because there's a lot of places that I've been and like things that I've done that I don't think I would have done, because if I didn't have that instilled in me so young to not listen to the fear, to like let the fear just feed me, you know.
What was your first experience really playing out for the first time?
Ooh, when I was 14, I played at an open mic in Harrisburg at this place called, it was when it was called Anthony's, or no, it was still Mercado's. It was when it was called Mercado's.
I've right not on heard Second that in a long
Street. And yeah, oh my goodness. That was like Mark Santana hosted it, and it was my first experience like playing guitar like out. And then from there, a few months after I played there, I ended up getting this show from this man Fish on State Street for this event called like Helping Hands, and it was all about like creating like a bridge to gap like the space between like homeless people and art, because the man that put it together was homeless, and he felt that there was very rare occasions that homeless people were able to even experience live music mm-hmm. and to like be able to create, you know. And it's so true, and it's something that I was so grateful to be able to be a part of, you know. And it was crazy too, because I ended up, that show I played before a good friend of mine now, Nate Young, his jazz band played afterwards. So I met him, Didn't see him again for like many years, and now we like still play music together, or started playing music together about 4 or 5 years ago, and still play music together now. So like, it's some crazy like full circle stuff.
As Shawan and the Wonton, you've sort of gotten this group of musicians together to create a full band sound, and sometimes it's bits and pieces, sometimes you just have a couple players, but you have, you know, a group of musicians that you would play with in the Harrisburg area. Well, one, have you done that sort of in New Orleans? Have you found other people to play with?
Or? Yeah, you know, there's people that I play with in New Orleans, and it's kind of like a similar vibe of how, like, sometimes I play with these cats, sometimes I play with these cats, but it's like, it's crazy because now I'm back in Harrisburg and I'm playing with these people that I love so much and I've played so much music with, and it's like, you can't recreate like the connections and feelings like that you have with certain players. Like the way that I feel when I play with my band up here, it's like a spiritual experience. Even if we're just like rehearsing together, like going through, like hashing out a new song, like it's like, I can't even describe what it does to my soul when I get to play with those people. And I'm sure I'll find more people that like I have like those like deep connections with, but I feel in the time that I've been playing in New Orleans, there's a few people that I really enjoy playing with, but there's like nothing like playing with these cats up here that I just have these like strong connections to, and we've been playing for so long.
I feel like it's so interesting watching all of you play on stage together, because there is sort of this almost unspoken connection with you guys on stage watching is so cool. I remember that you just had some new sort of music come out that was produced by someone that has a little bit of a different sound than maybe we're used to. Can you tell me a little bit about that and how that came to fruition?
Absolutely. One of my favorite people in the whole wide world, Xander Maupin, who is actually the bass player that I play with quite frequently down here or up here, he makes beats and does like producing stuff, and the one day I was like, Xander, we should like collaborate sometime. He was like, yeah, okay. And then like months went by, like maybe even years went by, and then one day like he was like, Shawan, like I think I'm ready, I got these beats, I'd like you to like work with me. I was like, of course, I'd love to. And last summer, I came back for the summer, and that's just pretty much what we did all summer. Like, I just kind of was, like, writing and working on them. And even over the winter, when I came back to visit for a month, we recorded a lot of stuff. But, yeah, that was a project that is, like, near and dear to my heart. Shawan and Stardog is the name of the album. It's just, like, a self-titled album. And those songs, I feel like when I write with Xander, it's more of, like, more of like ruminations on how I feel about life and like and how I feel about growth and progress and loss and grief, and like more of like I go more into like my spiritual ideas and practices and whatnot. They kind of shine through more in the music that I do with Stardog than the music that I write, like, when I play guitar. It's just kind of, like, a little bit of a different vibe, but still Shawan.
Still the same Shawan. Touring-wise, you did your tour, you're just sort of starting to wrap up this tour for this summer. So you went toward Europe last year. What was that tour like? Did you just do sort of the PA circuit? Did you sort of have an elongated...
Oh, last year, I just came back for the summer, so I was here all summer, and I just was, like, really working on recording and, like, playing, like, local gigs, and I did, like, a little tour where I went out to Illinois, but this year was, like, the longest tour that I've done. This one is 19 days, and then last month, I did a 13-day tour, so I feel like I'm really, like, dipping my toes right now, and then by next spring, I'll be, like, solid for, like, a month-long tour.
How do you feel about like being on the road? Is that something that you enjoy?
I truly love it, but I miss my cat. I really miss my cat, Zion Sassafras. I've had him since I was 15, And it's pretty silly that that's, like, the hardest part about being on tour. Like, I, like, am pretty good about, like, balance and, like, I already, like, eat pretty healthy. Mm-hmm. So, like, on tour, I, like, have to be mindful because we're on the go so much that I'm not, like, eating really poorly. But other than that, like, it's just about finding a balance, being able to say no when, like, you just need some, like, time to recharge, you know, because, like, since you're on the go, you don't even realize it, that it's like, wait a second, we just played, like, 4 shows, and, like, I haven't, like, sat down and just...
I've had a break.
Like, like, just decompressed, you know? So, like, I try to be mindful of that, and, like, I don't know. I really do enjoy touring. I like being able to just experience new things, and I like to be able to... take the time to just reassess how I feel about living and where I'm going. And driving a lot really allows you to do that. When you're like, it's like, okay, we're gonna be driving for the next 13 hours. Like, it's like, there's not much that you can do other than be alone with your thoughts, you know? And I really enjoy that as well.
Do you have a way that you try to specifically decompress on the road? Like, is there something? Do you meditate?
I meditate even when I'm home. I meditate every day. I practice yoga daily, and I read a lot. Like, those are my decompression, like, medicines. Like, I meditate at least once a day, but if I'm, like, really on the go, I'll just even meditate just for, like, a couple of minutes before I, like, perform or something. Just like, getting back to my center and just, like, taking deep breaths, because it's easy to just get caught up, you know? Yeah. And, like, then, like, it's, like, if I just take 2 minutes just to, like, close my eyes and breathe, I can feel myself, like, come down, you know, like, just a few notches, and it's like, okay, I'm golden.
It totally just occurred to me that we have a little bit of a game to play. Do you have them?
I mean, we got time before we get to the game if you want.
Oh, are we 25 minutes with our rambly intro?
We're much past 25 minutes with the rambly intro. We're at, like, 37 minutes right now.
Okay, I think we should go into our game, and then we'll...
Can I ask one follow-up real quick? Because it'll be a quick question.
Okay.
Other than meditation, you know, other than your personal decompression tactics, sounds like the wrong word to use.
That sounds too aggressive for self-care. Yeah.
An off day for the band, are there any special activities you guys like to do? Or, I mean, you specifically, I should say, because you tour with a collective of people. But, like, when you have an off day on tour, is there any special activity that you like to go do?
I love being in nature. So if we have some time, if there's, like, a park, a national park, or, like, some waterfalls, or just something beautiful like that, I love to, like, take some time to go sit in nature. But... yeah, I guess that's what I like to do.
You probably get a couple of opportunities to do that here in Pennsylvania.
That's something, too, that I didn't even realize I would miss so much. I tell this to people all the time in New Orleans. Like, I forgot, or I never realized how important the mountains were to me until they don't exist. Like, there's no mountains in New Orleans. Like, we're, like, below sea level. So, like, it's just, like, I love that the sky is really big. Like, the sky seems bigger, but it's like, oh, I miss those Appalachian Mountains.
I work out of Ohio a lot now. I work out of Cleveland, and we drove down to Charlottesville for one of our interviews, so we were right through the mountains. And it occurred to me, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I'm working in Ohio all the time. I'm not seeing mountains. I love mountains so much.
Me too.
And it didn't hit me until they weren't there anymore, how beautiful they are. And I have relatives from Louisiana that came up, this was before I was born, but they came up to visit my mom, and they had never seen a mountain before in their life.
Whoa.
And so they're driving around, and my cousin, who is, you know, young at the time, goes, Aunt Judy, what's going to happen when we reach the mountain? They didn't understand that you can go up the mountains because they had never seen one before.
That's so precious.
But I've been so in love with mountains recently now that it's occurred to me that they aren't everywhere. Like, that's...
it's crazy. Insane. Yeah.
Okay, game time?
Game time.
Okay. Little segment that this is actually the first time that we're doing it.
Okay.
But a little segment that we're going to do called Band or Business.
Okay.
I'm going to read off a title, or either the name of a business or the name of a band, and you guys, do we want to make it host versus guest, or like a competitive, or a teamwork? type
we
thing.
We'll do it as a little bit of a competition. Are you okay, down for yeah. a little bit of a competition?
Totally.
Okay. So just first off, right off the bat, is this a band or a business? Team Tomato.
I think it's a business.
I think it's a band.
Is it a grilled cheese and tomato soup restaurant? Because that would be perfect.
It is actually a band. I looked on their Spotify. None of their songs have over 1,000 streams yet. So I bet you they're probably an independent artist we could get to interview.
Yeah, Team Tomato, hit us up.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Next up, 14 Karat Grapefruit.
That's got to be a band. There's no way that's not a band.
That sounds like a band to me.
It is a band. I chose that one specifically just because I wonder how you measure the carrot.
Grapefruits.
Yeah,
and,
how you measure
carrots.
Grapefruits. Yeah.
That's funny.
Wait,
I have a question. Is it carrot like carrot of a metal? Or
yes,
is it,
like
okay,
as if we're talking.
K-A-R-A-T. Carrot.
As if we're talking rings.
Okay,
yes.
So it's not 14 carrot.
No.
That would just be silly.
14 karat grapefruit.
We're getting a ton of things messed up then. Walk and Roll.
That's a restaurant.
Oh, that's a restaurant.
It's a sushi restaurant.
Yeah, that's definitely a restaurant.
I'm so surprised that was that easy.
There's a moonwalk in New Orleans.
Moonwalk?
Moonwalk.
Like the
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious.
Humble Pie.
Oh, that's a band.
I don't know. I'm gonna guess it's a band. I like how we haven't kept score for this, but I'm gonna guess it's a band.
Yeah. It is a band. It's actually a band that I already knew these guys. They have a song called "The Sad Bag of Shaky Jake." It's a really,
Aww,
really
I know
good
Shaky Jake.
Final
Don't we
one.
All?
Final one is The Codfather.
Oh, that is a business, and it used to be in Chambersburg.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I figured that has to be a business, the Codfather.
I'm almost certain that there used to be a place called the Codfather in Chambersburg where, like, the Council for the Arts is. They used to sell, like, imported cheese and fish and meats and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the sign that I saw of it was fish-based.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I feel like I remember years ago, would have been 2015. or so, my first time going to the North Square Farmers Market, and we went around the farmers market, and then we sort of ventured off, and I'm pretty sure that was an Evan Kreider. Do you know Evan Kreider?
He that sounds
plays
really familiar.
Locally a lot.
I think I know that guy.
He's the host of our open mic. I don't know whose phone that was, but
it's probably, I think it might have been mine. But they must have changed their mind.
They said, not today. They knew. They instinctively knew.
They're like, oh yeah, Shawan's doing the interview. We better hang out.
I think Evan Kreider used to play there for events, but I'm pretty sure that.
Oh, like you said, we didn't keep track, but I think everybody wins.
Everybody wins. Because it's all about friendship.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
The true goal is that we realize friendship prevails in the end.
Yes. Okay, so a couple quick questions here for the end of our interview, because I know you have to get going to a show, because she's a very, very busy, talented musician. What have you been listening to lately? What would you recommend our listeners go and check out?
Kumasi Washington just released his new album not that long ago, Fist of Fury. That is incredible. I love his first album, The Epic. Like, a friend of mine turned me on to him last spring, and I was like, oh my goodness, where has this been all my life? He's like a tenor saxophone player, and he arranges and composes this ridiculously beautiful music, super spiritual, super beautiful, super jazzy, so good. Jamila Woods, also been like listening to her nonstop since last year. She is based out of Chicago. She's like a neo soul artist and like very like socio-political and like also spiritual and like very like this album that she released, Heaven. She said that it's the album that she wishes she had when she was a kid.
Nice.
So it's like everything I could have possibly asked for in an album is like this album. No Name, also based out of Chicago. She's a phenomenal female rapper, and she released her album, I think that was even last year. I just been listening to these albums, I can't get off of them. What else am I listening to? Oh, I'm listening to Don Penn, who is like a reggae artist, and I've been listening to her song No 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 like nonstop for like this whole tour. I learned it on like the second day of the tour just because I wanted to play it and listen to it all the time. So we'll be performing that this weekend. We'll play at Pride Fest and at River City, and we're going to play that, and it'll probably last like 15 minutes because we can't end it because it's so good, and you can just keep jamming on it.
And then where can people find you? Social media.
Okay, you can find me at ShawanRice.com or ShawanAndTheWonton.com. They both lead to the same place. You can find all my music on Spotify, iTunes, like Google Play, all that jazz at Shawan and the Wonton. And I'll be in the city until Tuesday. So tonight we're playing at Boneshire Brewworks in Harrisburg. Tomorrow we're in Wrightsville at John Wright Restaurant. And we're also going to be at the Broad Street Market in the morning from 10 to 12. And then Saturday we'll be at Pride Fest at 2, River City at 9, and then Sunday we'll be in Vermont. So if you're a Burlington cat, come on out.
All the best cats are Burlington cats.
It's true. Let's be honest.
Did the farmer's market get rained out yesterday?
It did. We played for like an hour, and then it just started pouring, and we were like, we should probably pack up. So we ended up packing up. But we did get to play for about an hour, so it was good. Anytime. I just love playing with Mike Dempsey so much. Like, I don't even care if it's pouring rain. I'm like, if it's an excuse to play with that beautiful soul.
Mike is my definition of a cool cat.
Mike is my definition of, like, a wonderful human being. Like, I cannot, crazy. I never, like, Mike Dempsey, I've been playing with him for quite a few years now, and I don't believe I can ever tire of his giggles and his playing.
His giggles,
and
oh my god.
His just his all around like Mike Dempsey-ness. Like he's such a wonderful human being. My dream and goal and like ulterior motive in life is to like just get Mike Dempsey to New Orleans and then just play music with him until he's 92.
Specifically 92.
He told me just recently he's always said until we're 90. And this time, since I've been down here, I was like, Mike Dempsey, I'm going to need 2 more years. So, like, and he said, fine, 2 more years.
He played keys when I worked for White Lake Fire.
Uh-huh.
And we recorded the music video for Crimson here. And we could not, for the life of us, this was when we had our old sound system, figure out how to run the song from Blake's phone into the speakers for playback.
Yeah.
And we're all just like, we're looking at the board, we're trying to figure out what's going on. Out of nowhere, Mike just looks at like one little box on top of the speakers next to him, presses a button, and then it starts playing. It was the most like,
he's an angel.
He's
sent
he
from the
is
heavens to
awesome.
just make things a little bit better.
All right, guys, that does it for this interview. Thanks so much for tuning in. Be sure to tune in again next week. We post every single Wednesday. We are available on iTunes, Podomatic, and Google Play Podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram at The Flat Nickel Podcast. Follow us on Facebook at The Flat Nickel Podcast. Make sure to drop us a like, a favorite, a subscribe, a 5-star review wherever you're listening, and we will be sure to get another episode out to you guys next week.